I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Now it's time for our weekly visit to the barbershop, where the guys talk about what's in the news and what's on their minds. Sitting in the chairs for a shape-up this week are writer and culture critic Jimmy Israel, civil rights attorney Arsalan Iftikhar. They're both here in Washington, D.C. Pablo Torre, senior writer for ESPN, the magazine, and ESPN.com, is with us from New York City. And Mario Loyola of the Texas Public Policy Foundation and contributor to the National Review is with us from Austin, Texas. Take it away, Jimmy.
Thanks, Michelle. Hey, fellas, welcome to the shop. How we doing?
Hey.
What's up?
P-Dog, how you doing? You all right?
I am powerless in my apartment, but to Aww. All of the friends who've offered their couches, I apologize for snoring and thank you.
Well, all right. We're glad to have you in.
Powerless on Park Avenue.
Right. Well,
he probably brought a suitcase full of his electronic devices to the bureau. He's like, got them all plugged
I've
in.
Had
we
had to
we
read,
feel you. We
I've
feel
had
you.
To read books this week. It's
oh,
terrifying.
My God, a book. Clutch the pearls. You know what? But Pablo, you're not the only one. Many people on the East Coast are struggling to get their lives back together after Superstorm Sandy toured the region. This week, toward just devastated. The crisis has people taking a second look at their priorities, their values, and sometimes their leaders. Right, Michelle?
Well, yeah. And of course, we want to say here again that you know, we're going to talk about the politics, but obviously front and center for us is, you know, our people's lives and families, and obviously our hearts go out to the people who've suffered and lost a lot this week. But having said that, there have been some really interesting political consequences as a result of this, that New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg surprised some people, at least, by endorsing President Obama. Mr. Bloomberg cited the president's efforts in tackling climate change, something that the mayor believes contributed to Superstorm Sandy. The endorsement came in an opinion piece published by Bloomberg News. It was titled, "A Vote for a President to Lead on Climate Change," Jimmy.
Wow. Well, thanks for that, Michelle. Mario, Super Mario, Mario Loyola, my dude, Michael Bloomberg is a political independent. Ay, caramba. And some folks accuse him of dissing Obama this week for passing on a presidential visit to NYC. It looks like this endorsement, something of a surprise, yeah?
Yeah, it's a little bit of, yeah, it was a backhanded endorsement, too, because he also accused, in the same endorsement, he accused the president of a divisive populist agenda focused more on redistributing income than creating it, which is the essential Republican talking point, right? But I mean, I think, you know, it's very hard to find comic relief in a tragedy like Superstorm Sandy, but Bloomberg sure found a way. I mean, let's agree that this election does not boil down to a choice between climate patterns. Can we agree on that?
That's not what we're here. But
yeah, that's
ahead.
Not what we're here, bro.
Go
we're ahead. Not here to agree. You know that this is the barbershop.
So make your point, please.
I mean, it's not. You know, voting for Obama is not going to bring the climate under control.
It won't.
Okay. I mean, even if he's the Messiah, he's not going to end violent changes in weather. I mean, right? I mean, maybe you know, there certainly is some plausible human impact on the environment. Increased CO2 is certainly the result of human industrialization and activity. Now, what exactly the impact of CO2 is on the climate remains a matter of a lot of scientific study and a lot of scientific investigation, right? I mean, it increases water vapor in the atmosphere.
No, it does. I mean, could we just skip this whole and just say that there is no scientific debate really about climate change? Is the question here what we should do about it? Or are you saying that you really think there's debate about whether climate change is real? Is that really is
no,
that what you're
climate
saying?
Change is certainly real. Climate change has always existed. It will always exist. The question that scientists are struggling to figure out is what is the impact of increased water vapor due to increased CO2 on the heat trapping of the atmosphere? And it's clear from the latest evidence of the last 20 years that the feedback, the reflective properties of water vapor is a lot greater than their original models thought, which is why we've had a lot less change in average global temperatures over the last 16 years than their models predicted.
Okay,
but the point is,
yeah, thanks.
That even if you know, but the point is, look, I mean, even you know, Al Gore is an influential person, but he didn't make climate theory, he didn't make chaos theory go away. I mean, you know, I read in the New York Times the other day.
Okay,
you know, it'll be months before scientists fully understand the causes of Superstorm Sandy. No, it won't. It will be never. They will never understand the causes
of
a superstorm like this.
I think the question here, and I'll ask Arsalan this, is what difference will it make that Mr. Bloomberg endorsed President Obama?
Yeah, let me put down my geology 101 textbook.
Yeah, let's get out of Beekman's world for like a minute and like actually answer the question. You know, go ahead.
I'm sorry.
It's interesting, obviously, because, you know, here we have Michael Bloomberg, who is an independent and respected by many people in the Republican Party. And I think his endorsement will speak to some independents out there, you know, who might be on the fence, you know, particularly in swing states like Ohio and Virginia and things like that. You know, I think it was an interesting endorsement, and I'm glad that Mayor Bloomberg brought climate change up. But, you know, an endorsement is an endorsement, whether it's backhanded or front-handed.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because in that endorsement, I don't know if it was backhanded or if it was even-handed. I'm not quite sure which, because he also said that Mitt Romney seems to be a decent man who has walked away from every sensible position that he ever had. And as a consequence, you have no way of knowing what his real agenda is,
right,
and whether you'd actually get some progress on things that he says are consensus issues. So that was his reason for why he did not endorse Mitt Romney, despite the fact that many people think they have a lot in common given their business experience and are offering their business experience as their primary credential.
Well, and also,
so that's why that's
And also, if Mitt Romney decided tomorrow that, you know, he's going to make climate change, you know, part of his platform, we all know that he's not going to care about at least 47% of the climate.
So in true New York style, you know, he kept it real, basically. Okay? I mean, that's all. He just told the truth. P-Dog, Pablo, you're in New York. You survived the storm. Do you really feel like Bloomberg's endorsement really did anything to anybody? Did it have any effect there?
Well, look, I mean, New York is as blue as it gets. Practically, it's not as if this is a domino that's waiting to fall. But the fact that he is like the world or the country's at least foremost technocrat and is the businessman's businessman, I think hints at something, that even this guy who is as focused on the margins financially as anybody would endorse President Obama. Sort of, in my opinion, it punctures that balloon a little bit that Mitt Romney is the businessman's candidate. Mm. Now, wait, so do we not want to talk about climate change at all? Just to clarify.
We don't need a dissertation,
bro. I'm not going to delve in. Go ahead.
I did not take geology 101, but I mean, the idea is that you're putting this issue on the table. I mean, being in New York, the stunning thing, and I think this is what gave rise to this very politically opportunist move by Mike Bloomberg, is that everyone was talking about the storm. No one was talking about climate change. Now we're all talking about climate change. And that,
unfortunately.
Well, unfortunately, depending on how much you care about the people who are going to inherit the earth from us. But in terms of how much we care about climate change, this is now a topic. And whether you think that it's going to be a huge change if it's Obama or not, the fact that everyone is forced to talk about it is itself useful. And that's Mike Bloomberg's point. He's that he wants to make this a centrist issue. Climate change is now a centrist issue because Mike Bloomberg is the ultimate centrist.
All right. So we're going to jump across the bridge from New York to New Jersey, where Republican Governor Chris Christie is giving Obama girl, hey girl, a run for her money. And with all the love he's sending Obama's way after the storm, he was talking about how many times Obama called him, how helpful he's been, and they even visited victims together on Wednesday. Wow. Michelle, we got some tape, yeah?
Well, you know, one of the reasons this is interesting is that Chris Christie was on the allegedly on the short list to be the vice presidential nominee on the Romney ticket. He's endorsed Romney. He's been a surrogate for Romney. And yet he has been praising the president. And that's actually annoyed some conservatives. And Christie was answering that criticism in this next clip. Here it is.
Well, you know what? I speak the truth. That's what I always do. Sometimes you guys like it, sometimes you don't, sometimes politicians like it, sometimes they don't. But I say what I feel and what I believe. And I'm just doing the same thing with the President of the United States.
And the other reason this is interesting is that, you know, Rush Limbaugh, I know you all are just rapt at, you know, at his feet listening to what he had to say about this, but that he had earlier contrasted Christie with Bloomberg and saying, oh, you know, Bloomberg dissed Obama and had said falsely that Bloomberg had endorsed Romney. And that, so I'm, you know, so what happens now? So I'm also, Jimmy, I don't know. I want to know what you think about this.
You know, Chris Christie, he looks to me like a guy that's really well affiliated with the whole concept, the flavor of the week. But not taking anything away from him, I'm happy that he did the right thing.
Why is it the right thing?
Well, he gave props where props were due because the president came in and he was presidential. You know, he's not looking from a plane to see what's happening down below. He's actually got boots literally on the ground and trying to make things happen. You know, Arsalan.
Yes, sir. Well, I think, you know, I give Chris Christie mad props for what he's done,
you know, any, you know, dimes for a politician could have turned a national, you know, tragedy like Hurricane Sandy into a political talking point, especially when you've been a surrogate and you've endorsed, you know, one presidential candidate. But Chris Christie decided not to do that. He sent out this great tweet on Twitter on October 31st that said, "I will be touring New Jersey with President Obama today. Yes, I'm a Republican. Yes, he's a Democrat. But we're also adults, and this is what adults do." And that was just gangbusters. And I really think it speaks to Chris Christie, his character, and, you know, how he's doing as governor of New Jersey.
Let me just ask this one question. I'm just going to take the other side of this question. I'm going to ask Pablo this because you are in New York. There are those who would argue that these presidential visits to disaster sites are really a waste of time, that the resources that, you know, presidents need, that you have to take a huge security apparatus to go anywhere. That is the responsible thing to do, and that you're drawing resources away that could be used for direct, you know, service to people. And so I just wanted to ask, does anybody feel that, you know, it might have been nice for the president and for Chris Christie to show that they are adults and that they're going to work together, but that was actually, you know, that maybe it would be better to stay up there at 30,000 feet and do the flyover and don't stress me.
Right. It's funny. I mean, well, not funny. It's interesting that, you know, President Obama wanted to come to New York, and apparently Mike Bloomberg said there's no way that this city can accommodate the entourage of security that would be necessary to accompany a president because of that very reason. And the reality, though, Michelle, is that you do need to do this. I mean, that's just that's the ceremonial nature of being any politician, really. It even if you could show someone a PowerPoint decision tree that says this is what would happen if we need to bring the president in here, we need to devote this many resources to just that simple act. Okay. The fact is that people want to see that leader on the news in their neighborhood. Even if they don't see them personally, they want to know that there's that bedside manner, which is just not available if the guy is flying overhead, even if he's more effective that way.
Okay, well, we're going to switch gears from the 5 minutes or so that we have left to talk about some entertainment news. And I understand that that's, you know, we obviously know what the priority is, that people's, you know, lives and safety and security and well-being. But this is big news, and people want to talk about it. So let's talk about the fact that Disney has paid billions of dollars to buy Lucasfilm, the maker of Star Wars. Here's a clip from The Empire Strikes Back. Not that you need it. Here it is.
Obi-Wan never told you what happened to your father.
He told me enough. He told me you killed him.
No. I am your father.
No. No. It's not true. That's impossible!
Search your feelings. You know it to be true.
No!
Yes, it's true. Disney says it's going to make a new Star Wars film and perhaps a couple of others down the line. So, Jimmy, you know I have to ask you, are you super excited?
I'm not super excited. It makes sense to me insofar as, you know, Disney is all about beating the story out of really great properties and the lunchboxification of great stories. And so is Lucasfilms. You know, I mean, I've probably seen more toys for Lucasfilms than I have actually Lucasfilms. You know, so it seems like a good marriage.
Are you gonna go?
I mean, why wouldn't I go? I mean, okay. if it's a good story well told, yeah, I'm always in the theater. But, you know, I don't know. Like I said, it seems like a good marriage. I mean, all they want is the money, so why not?
Oh, okay. Mario, what about you?
Well, you know, I mean, this goes
assuming it's not about climate change.
No, it's not. I mean, you know, Steven Spielberg from the very beginning was all about making great film as art. And George Lucas told him, you know, what audiences want is popcorn. I mean, I think this goes to Jimmy's point. And I think that George Lucas may not really have understood ever why the original Star Wars movies were so great, which was really the on-screen chemistry between actors like Harrison Ford and Carrie Fisher. And I hope that Disney keeps that in mind, that these movies are not successful because of their special effects only. I mean, they're successful because they have compelling interactions among great actors. And if we get back to that, we could have a really great series again. Certainly the last three were a disappointment.
Yeah, Arslan.
Well, you know, for even 30 years later, I'm still shocked to learn that James Earl Jones is Mark Hamill's father. But, you know, I think that this...
Why not?
I think this was a great move. Let's not forget that Disney in 2006 bought Pixar for several billion dollars, and we've seen what the Pixar brand has become. They also, in 2009, bought Marvel, the rights to Marvel comic movies in 2009 for several billion dollars. So I think, you know, this is a great move as long as we don't see any more of Jar Jar Binks. things.
Yeah, I think it's a great business move. But for those of us that like stories, those of us that are creatives, you know, it's... Nah, Disney doesn't know how to tell a good story without throwing like a product endorsement in there.
Lion King?
Still great.
Lion King is all about the merch. Are you serious? Lion King is all about the merch. Are you serious?
Lion King was dope.
It was all about the merch, bro.
Toy Story is dope. Come on, man.
Toy Story is a walking commercial.
So what? It's still dope. Pablo, now, okay, we do disclosure here. Okay, you yes. are a senior writer for ESPN's magazine and website, and Disney owns ESPN. So technically, you're an employee, and you probably have little Dalmatians on your paycheck, I bet. But
I was just notified that I will be playing Jar Jar Binks' son.
No.
So that's breaking news.
Pablo Binks.
Straight to Deadline.
You heard it here first.
I am a Disney homer, I guess. But listen, we are all going to watch these movies no matter what. They made a bazillion dollars even after we knew the first, second, and third prequels were horrible. And I'm also interested in seeing another director besides George Lucas take a crack at this. I mean, what if they get really good directors, let's say a Christopher Nolan type or a Joss Whedon, somebody who's rebooted stuff before? Who wouldn't want to see that? That'd be fascinating. I think George Lucas, his fastball was gone a long time ago. It was going to sit there and do nothing. Why not open it up? Nothing is sacred in commerce and art and cinema anyway, so I'm all for it.
Well, whenever the first movie comes out, we'll talk about that. We have like a minute left to get your NBA picks since the season starts. The regular season starts when? It started.
Yeah.
So what are your picks? I'm in D.C. and the Wizards, so I'm already out of hope. I'm already out of hope. I'm already somewhere else, but... Okay, Arslan. Well, why do we even ask you?
I mean, come on. I'm still wearing
why do we even bother
my Celtic tape from the last...
My Celtic green tan. Listen, with the new look Los Angeles Lakers, I mean, I would love to see a Boston Celtics at the Lakers final again. I think it would be one for the ages.
Mario, you got a pick?
Yeah, I'll stick with my roots and stick with the Miami Heat. But I hope Miami fans remember not to be fair weather fans. Stick with your team when it's not doing so great, because being a fair weather fan is bad karma. Of course, as a Green Bay Packers fan, I'll never have to worry about that.
Oh, snap. Okay, Pablo.
It's the Miami Heat. We should all get used to this. The Lakers are looking disjointed, and the Heat are as insanely powerful and as easy to hate as ever.
Jimmy.
Against all conventional wisdom, the Cavs.
Oh,
yes.
That's a good karma. Jimmy Israel is a writer and culture critic. He's also adjunct professor of film and social media at Cuyahoga Community College. Arsalan Iftikhar is a civil rights attorney and founder of themuslimguy.com. They were both here in Washington, D.C. Pablo Torre is a senior writer for ESPN The Magazine and ESPN.com. He joined us from our bureau in New York. And Mario Loyola is the director of the Center for 10th Amendment Studies at the Texas Public Policy Foundation. That's a think tank focused on the impact of federal policy on states. He's also a contributor to the conservative magazine, The National Review. He was with us from member station KUT in Austin. Thank you all so much.
Vote for Obama.
Thank you.
Ciao, ciao.
Yep, yep.
And remember, if you can't get enough Barbershop Buzz on the radio, look for our new Barbershop podcast. That's in the iTunes store or at npr.org. That's our program for today. This is Tell Me More. Let's talk more on Monday.